This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, our Rural Issues series on the presidential campaign continues. Today, a look at why the GOP has been traditionally the strongest of the parties among rural voters. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Higher utility prices may mean that a state-sponsored home heating assistance program may not be able to expand to help more people. But the woman who oversees the enrollment program in Champaign County says about 5,500 households will get help this year from the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP. Darlene Kleppel of the county's Regional Planning Commission says her office has already interviewed 2,000 people, even before LIHEAP enrollment expands to the general public next month.
We have four case managers, and they're just filling appointments as fast as we can see people. And we're keeping up right now. We're booking out about a week and a half. Thursdays is our walk-in day, and so people that are actually disconnected can come in on Thursdays. And we see that day, you know, about 120, 130 people.
Right now, only those whose utilities have been cut off can sign up for LIHEAP. Last month was open to seniors and people with disabilities. Kleppel's office is now setting up interviews in Fisher, Rantoul, and Tolono, as well as its headquarters in Urbana. The Illinois House will delay its post-election return to Springfield. Amanda Vinicky explains why.
Governor Rod Blagojevich made hefty use of his veto powers this year, using them to cut nearly $1.5 billion from the budget, to radically alter various pieces of legislation, and to rework a campaign finance measure. Typically, the General Assembly would decide whether to accept or reject those changes during a fall veto session. But rather than wait, the House and Senate returned to Springfield several times this summer and early fall. Steve Brown is spokesman for the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan.
So the work of the first week of the veto session is concluded.
Brown says that's why Madigan decided to cancel that week. The House was supposed to return November 12th. Instead, representatives are set to return to the Capitol November 19th. A spokesman for the Senate president says that chamber may also cancel days, but no decisions yet been made. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The fifth and sixth civil lawsuits have now been filed against the Urbana School District in the wake of convicted former teacher John White. Attorney Tom Bruno says he's filed suits in Champaign County on behalf of two unidentified girls. They were former students of White's, and they charged the former Thomas Paine school teacher sexually molested them in their class. White is serving a 60-year prison sentence for those incidents and others at his previous job at a grade school in Normal. The suits also name current and former Urbana administrators, teachers, and staff, claiming they were negligent in letting White continue teaching despite complaints against him. Urbana school officials referred comments to the district's attorney, who has not returned calls. A former director of the Vermilion County, Indiana Emergency Management Agency has been indicted on three counts of theft. 68-year-old Raymond Colombo was arrested yesterday and released from the Vermilion County Jail in Newport on bond. He's accused of using federal funds to obtain personal property such as televisions, kitchen appliances, and a $9,300 landscaping tractor. According to an affidavit filed in Vermilion Circuit Court, the items were obtained on at least three occasions in contracts with the Terre Haute Electrical Company, which overbid the costs of its services to the county to hide the cost of the purchases requested by Colombo. The Associated Press left a message at Colombo's house seeking comment. The Champaign School Board will discuss a proposal to post records of its spending on the school district website at an upcoming meeting, perhaps as soon as October 27th. Unit 4 is responding to a request from Tony Pomonas, a county board candidate who is also a transparency advocate. He told the school board Monday that they should put as much of their financial information online as possible to make it more accessible to the public. School Board President Dave Tomlinson says he likes the idea, but worries that the devil will be in the details.
I think the board is absolutely supportive of transparency, but putting 1,200 checks on the website has got to be tempered with making sure that it's not adding, an inadvertent consequence of this, is adding 1,000 hours a month of staff time.
Tomlinson acknowledges that number is an exaggeration, but worries that putting even routine records online could be complicated. Unit 4 Finance Director Gene Loga says the current check registry doesn't include explanations of each item, which is one thing Pomonas wants posted. But Loga says there's already a lot of other budget and financial information on their websites. That's at Champaign Schools, one word, champaignschools.org. Some University of Illinois faculty are looking for some local middle school students with a passion for the arts. A collaboration with local districts started last week with an assembly at Champaign's Franklin Middle School. Eighth graders were asked to register for an after-school pilot program in which university instructors will provide lessons in areas like sculpting, painting, and even West African drumming. After 9 weeks, the 24 initial students for the after-school arts program will give a performance. The U of I's College of Education is putting that initiative together. The Executive Associate Dean for Research, Lizanne DiStefano, says plans are not only to expand the program to other schools, but to jumpstart some possible careers.
We'd like to offer scholarships to Illinois Summer Youth Music for the highest achieving kids in these programs, so that if they have a real passion for percussion, they have an opportunity to come in the summer. Likewise, we have a Saturday art school at the university.
The after-school arts program will expand to Urbana Middle School in January. DiStefano says making it a district-wide plan in both Champaign and Urbana Middle Schools will depend a lot on funding from outside arts groups. The program is free for students. It's currently funded by the schools and the U of I. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For the last week and a half, AM 580 and other public radio stations have been getting views from across the country on how the presidential race is playing in rural America. The Northeast is increasingly a Democratic stronghold. Over the last 4 years, Republican governors, U.S. senators, and members of Congress have been swept from office. Some pundits are predicting that 2008 could bring another round of setbacks for the GOP in the Northeast. But as Brian Mann reports in the latest segment of our series, conservative small-town voters there could limit Republican losses in some surprising places.
Alan Wood from Scotterville with the John Deere 4010 will be up next.
Under a late summer sun, men in oil-stained t-shirts and battered straw hats are competing in a tractor pull. This is the Scaticoke Fair in New York's Rensselaer County. Fairs are a big draw in upstate New York, and with the crowds come the politicians.
I'm proud to meet you. My father served in World War II.
How old is your father?
He's no longer with us, I'm sorry to say.
I'm 91.
Oh, good for you. Wow. Pleasure.
Surrounded by hay bales and brightly colored bunting, Republican Sandy Treadwell is shaking hands and handing out flyers.
I used to be in the 4-H and showed calves, my father's Holstein calves.
This part of New York looks more like rural Iowa than the Bronx. And for decades, voters here have favored Republicans by wide margins. The latest polls conducted across rural America show John McCain holding a 10-point lead over Barack Obama. Treadwell, who's running for New York's 20th congressional district, says the GOP's small-town loyalty runs deep.
I think we're an independent Yankee population, by and large. And those people are natural conservative folks and Republican people.
Cities and suburbs in the Northeast have turned away from the GOP, tossing out Republican governors, senators, and members of Congress. But polls show that small towns in the region share a lot of concerns with rural voters across America, the economy, but also opposition to same-sex marriage and concern about abortion. Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand won this district in an upset, defeating veteran Republican John Sweeney, a close ally of George Bush, who was crippled by a series of scandals. She now finds herself locked in a tough re-election fight.
For our district, I think many, many folks will support John McCain. I think at the end of the day, in our district, people don't mind having a split ticket. I know a lot of times they feel comfortable with voting their own party for the presidential, and they might feel that I could vote for a Democrat for my congressional representative because I know her and I like her.
Across the Northeast, Democrats have expanded their lead in voter registrations, but Gillibrand will need every Republican she can get. In this small-town heavy district, the GOP still holds an 80,000 voter advantage.
I mean, what strikes me is how little things have changed.
Bill Bishop is an expert on rural politics and author of a new book called The Big Sort. Bishop says that in small towns like Scaticoke, the Republican brand isn't broken at all. The party is deeply entrenched, he says, as much a part of the social fabric as the local football team or the Chamber of Commerce.
The blocks aren't about leadership and policy. They're about community and place and people's sense of themselves.
In close elections, for Senate seats in Maine and New Hampshire, for example, that kind of small-town loyalty could mean more than the national zeitgeist. If Republicans are right, these small towns could serve as a sort of political backstop, limiting the party's congressional losses in November and offering a foundation for rebuilding. For the Public Radio Rural Issues Project, I'm Brian Mann in Scaghtikoke, New York.
We should see periods of rain through our day today, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. Champaign-Urbana's high temperature, 73 degrees, with wind shifting from the southeast to the west at 7 to 14 miles an hour. It'll be cloudy with areas of rain across northern and central Illinois and Indiana. In the south, a mix of clouds and sun with some scattered showers and thunderstorms developing. Wide range of high temperatures from 54 in far northwest Illinois to 84 in the far south. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy in northwest Illinois. In the south, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. But elsewhere, cloudy with scattered showers tapering off from west to east overnight. The lows from a chilly 37 in far northwest Illinois to 57 in the south, down to 47 tonight in Champaign-Urbana, with most of the rain in the evening hours. For tomorrow in the far south, clouds then becoming partly sunny, but elsewhere a mix of clouds and sunshine throughout the day, and highs from 57 far northwest to 67 in the south, a cooler high of 63 tomorrow under partial sunshine in Champaign-Urbana. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 43, then Friday, intervals of clouds and sun and a slight chance of a passing shower, and a high of only 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.